Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
We're in Hebrews chapter 11. We want to open God's word and hear him speak. We're learning about enduring faith all year long. That's what we're studying through the book of Hebrews here. And we need this enduring faith that sustained the Old Testament saints and who gave a witness to God and bore witness through their testimony that God did great things in their day and they believed he could do great things. And this enduring faith is what sustained the church and throughout the ages, and it's what sustains you and me. And we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and particularly verses 5 and 6 today, and we'll see the one that exercised faith, and it was a faith that walked with God. Do you remember the time you taught your little one how to walk? You remember those days when they were little and growing up and they were babies and about to start pulling up? First course, they could sit up and begin to crawl and waddle like a flopping fish a little bit, if you know what I mean there. But my son sent me a picture, a little video yesterday of my precious granddaughter now pulling up and pushing this little kind of a footrest thing across the hardwood floor and plopping down. And I thought, you remember when those little legs were so, you know, they're just little chunky things, you know what I'm saying? And wobbly, and as soon as they get up and go two or three steps, they just plop right back on the ground. And you know, they spend more time falling down and working to get back up than the steps they actually take. You remember those days? And then what happens is eventually they get the strength in their legs. They start to get oriented. Moms and dads, we bring our little fingers out and say, come on now, and help them. And they get going. Isn't it amazing? It's exciting. That's part of growing up, learning to put one foot in front of another. And the next thing you know, they're off and running and pew, they're gone right through the house, right? And as soon as you do that, you find it amazing, don't you? You couldn't wait for them to walk. But then when they actually do it, you're wishing that they'd sit down and behave themselves, right? And that's the irony of the whole thing, right? Well, in a similar way, listen, not physically we learn to walk, but spiritually we need to learn to walk with God. Sometimes, let's be honest, we fall down, right? We plop. And we need to learn to get back up and keep walking and walking by faith. You see, God, that was his intention. When he made Adam there, I don't know if you noticed that, he came walking in the garden, it says in Genesis, in the cool of the morning to meet with Adam. I can just imagine him walking Adam all throughout paradise and pointing out things that he had made there in the Garden of Eden, the creatures, and even, you know, bringing those before Adam and giving Adam some insight into the world that he had created. What an amazing time that was like. And yet, realizing you and I, we were made to walk with God, not just here on earth. We're going to walk with him over there, right? On streets of gold. We're going to be in his presence forever. And what we need to do is learn to walk with him now, practicing our faith, exercising our faith, believing what he says in this book, believing what he promises in this book, building your life on this word, just as Adam had to do the same thing, trusting God, believing what God said in his book. But see, here's the thing. Sadly, it seems we separate Sunday from the rest of the week, where we open the word and we hear God speak, and we're not intentional about the steps of faith we're taking throughout the week. Being thoughtful about that, more intentionally each and every day. The wise man said over in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 30, 26 and 27, he said, ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Don't turn to the right nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Do you think about where your steps are leading you? I mean, do we really stop and ponder the path, the decisions we've got to make this week, The steps that we take, listen, leaving the house, entering the workplace, the steps that we have, walking into to our classrooms and school, the steps that we take, listen, as we come to worship, as we go and enjoy the week and time with family and all, do we stop and really consider, where are my feet taking me? Am I on the right path or not? Am I walking with God or am I not? You see, the Hall of Fame is going to reveal, like it did last week with Abel, there's faith that worships the one true God. But the next one we meet is here, Enoch. And he demonstrates a faith that walks with God in life. Next week, we'll see what happens when you walk with God, when you worship God. Then you're like Noah. You have a faith that works for God to do what God calls you to do. And here's what's essential. Listen. We'll see this next week. There's a lot of work that takes place for God, but if you're not worshiping Him and if you're not walking with Him, then that work really isn't worth much. These things are placed here, I believe, by Paul, and the Spirit of God inspired it to be written this way because there's an order about my life. There's an order about my journey of faith, and it should be about yours as well. When we walk with God, we got to make sure, as we learned last week with Abel, I'm offering the right sacrifice, the better sacrifice, which is offered in faith, and the journey as well, the walk that we take is also in faith. This is an example. In fact, I'll show you when we look at verse 5 on Enoch and then verse 6, which we read earlier. Listen, those actually go together, and they're tied together for a reason. So often we just separate verse 6, and we'll quote that often, not thinking about the context and the verse that immediately precedes it and why it's essential. Listen, not just for Sunday. This is for every day of my life. Every step, listen, that you and I are going to take this week matters to God. And He wants us to walk with Him by faith in fellowship. And that journey, those steps that we take really do demonstrate that you and I are living by faith and living in a way that pleases Him and trusts Him. And that's what we want to do. This is the example. So will my faith be rewarded? Well, let's walk like Enoch, and it will be. And I want to show you that in the Word of God. Stand with me. Let's read these two verses together. Hebrews chapter 11. Have the Bible open before us. Before our hearts, and have our hearts open before the Word of God this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Notice this. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. God, may that be our heart's desire, we pray today. Father, we do believe that you are. God, I pray we believe you reward those who seek you in that way. God, may we learn to be like Enoch today. Lord, may we learn to walk by faith and walk in sweet fellowship with you. Spirit of God, speak to us. Lord, if we're walking in the wrong direction today, please convict us of that. Please help us to realize there's mercy and grace, and we just need to turn around and go in the right direction. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, Lord, may we recognize who you are and the reward that you have for us. And Lord, we ask these things today in the precious name of Jesus and our shepherd, the one who's coming for us one day, our King. We ask this in his name, amen and amen. You may be seated. What does faith that walks with God look like? Enoch, we don't know a lot about him actually in Scripture. There's only three verses over there in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. We'll look over there in just a moment in Genesis 4 and 5. But there's only a couple verses there. Jude references him, at least a reference that of a prophecy that Enoch made about judgment that would come upon the ungodly and all their ungodly deeds. But what we don't know, what's emphasized here in the book of Hebrews is not the life that he lived. What's emphasized is God took him. He took him one day. So we have to look back over in the Old Testament and say, well, why did God take him? And where did God take him? And where was he when God took him? What Enoch demonstrates is his faith was one that walked with God. He lived in relationship with the Lord. He was in that line of all those that were men of renown. He demonstrates, I believe, what the great hymn writer wrote in the hymn, "In the Garden, I Come to the Garden Alone. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice that I, falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." That's to be our testimony, walking with the Lord and walking in the created order. I think like Adam, you know, we know it's sin has affected the created order, but when you stop and think about God making creation and the first thing Adam enjoyed was a day of rest with God, walking and talking with him, that's what God intended for us, to fellowship with him. And I think that hymn writer really captured it well. It's important to get out there in that creation and slow down. And to realize there's a God who made all of this, and he made you, and he made me, and he made us for a purpose. And we should worship that true creator. That's what we learned back actually up in verse 3. By faith we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We believe that. He made it all. He made us too. And he made us for a purpose. He made us to worship him. We learned that from Abel. But we learned from Enoch, we were also made to walk with him. Over in Genesis chapter 4 and chapter 5, we learn about Enoch and the day in which he lived. It's frankly not much different than the day and age in which we live and we find ourselves. It's fascinating how the Spirit inspired Moses to give the record of just a few names, a few people here in the Old Testament, but they, I think, embody what was happening in that day and in that age. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God, but can I tell you the world was not walking in a way that pleased God? Do you remember what was happening in Enoch's day? I mean, he was a contemporary of Adam. You realize Adam was alive when Enoch was born? Adam was 622 years old when Enoch was born and lived till he was 930 years old. You say, oh my goodness, Pastor Chris, do you really believe they actually lived those many years? Yeah, I do. I take the Bible at its word. You know, in fact, you know why I think so? I don't think sin had corrupted everything to such a degree like today that we're affected by just thousands and thousands of years of sin that has affected the world today and it has a consequence on our lives. I believe not only was Adam alive, Seth, who it says in Genesis chapter 5, he was the founder of the godly line there in Genesis chapter 5. This was the day when men started to call on the name of the Lord, and Seth was one of those men that began that line, because of course Abel had died, and Seth was the next one that was born. But Seth was born, and he had a son, and when Jared was born, Enoch's father, he was 162 years old, and then when Enoch was born, for 308 years, he walked around on this earth. What's fascinating there is he may have known not only Adam and Seth, but many of the spiritual leaders who were walking in the way of the Lord. This was those that called on the name of the Lord, the men of renown. And in that day, what's fascinating, as it says at the end of chapter 4, verse 26, these men, Seth and Enosh, all these, they used to call on the name of the Lord. They were of the godly line, the men of renown. Now, what's fascinating is if there were those who called on the Lord, you know what there also were? Those who didn't call on the name of the Lord. In fact, you find out about them a little bit back up in verse 16 of chapter 4. Listen to this. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod and east of Eden. Cain left God's presence. He went the way of evil. We learn about that over in 1 John, his epistle. Don't follow in that way. Don't be like Cain. In fact, what's fascinating is you follow these who came after Cain, who the wife that he, the son that he bore, Enoch, and then the others that came after Cain. And what's amazing there is that there was a man named Lamech who was born. And here's what Lamech did. It shows the culture that was happening around them. He said, oh, you know what? I'm going to have me two wives. I'm not going to be satisfied with one wife. I'm going to have two wives. Well, God's plan had already been just one chapter before this, that there's one man, one woman for one life. What God puts together, let no man tear apart. But something was happening. Immorality was now affecting because of sin. In fact, Lamech once said, as it says here in chapter 4, he said to his two wives, listen to this, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. Why? Because I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. That's one thing, I mean, to take two wives and to live that way after the lust of your flesh. But what about when you live violently, killing someone? I mean, you see the picture highlighted for us by the Spirit of God with these two examples of Lamech's life, which you see and realize, look at this wickedness, look at this ungodliness, look at this violence, and look at the swagger even that Lamech has. Look at me, I'm boasting about it. Now, stop and think about Enoch. Was born in these days, right? Enoch grew up in these days. Enoch grew up when the world was not only going so far, it was losing its boundaries, it was losing its restraints, so much so that we know by the time you get to chapter 6, and of course that's several hundreds and hundreds of years, but what's amazing is when you get there, the hearts of man were exceedingly wicked, that the thoughts and intents of man's heart, it says, were on evil constantly, and God was sorry that he had, you know, my spirit's not going to strive with man forever. Indeed, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring judgment on the earth. We'll learn about that next week when we consider Noah and faith that works. But here, while all those restraints are going away, what's amazing is there was one who walked with God. In fact, what it says there in chapter 5, down in verse 21, it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. And so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And here it is, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Why? Because God took him. Now, I was asked this question. It's really fascinating. Stop and think. How did they know that? How did they know God took him? Think about that. How did they know he wasn't eaten by some creature, right? How do you know he didn't fall into a pit and die? How do they know he didn't get swept away in a river? Well, God ensured us. God told us, so it's true. We know that. But what we know is, according to the author of Hebrews, God took him. In fact, it's emphasized three times that God took him. God took him. God took him. He was walking with the Lord in the midst of a wicked world before the flood would came, which is really, really fascinating when you stop and think about the baby that God had given him, Methuselah. Do you know what that name means? Methuselah means he shall be the one. He shall be until the one who is sent shall die. It shall be until he is dead. Well, what does that mean? That when he's gone, it will come. What will come? I think God may have been telling Enoch, judgment's coming. He's going to be here. And you know, he died right before the flood happened. Fascinating when you time that out. God knew and gave Enoch, I think, a glimpse of it. I'm glad he's given us a glimpse too. Amen. Listen, you can know the end. There's a good and there's a bad coming, y'all. I want to be a part of the judgment. Not that gets a bad, gets the judgment that's not good. I want the judgment that gets rewarded. Amen. And you should live your life that way. And so Enoch walked with God. And three times the author of Hebrews tells us he was taken. He was taken by God. He was not found because God took him. And before he was taken, here's what we know. He had this testimony. What was his testimony? He pleased God. Now I circled that in my Bible in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11, this testimony that he had. And you can draw a line up to verse 4 because Abel had this witness or testimony. God testified about it. And then you can trace it all the way up to verse 2. The elders, they had a good testimony. Listen, their eulogy, the word that we remember about them, the good word spoken about them. Well, Enoch's was, he walked in such a way pleasing God that God said, I'm taking you to my house. In fact, that's what translated means. It's one who is carried across, one who is taken from one realm to another. How did God do it? I don't know. God just did it. I think it's a picture for us, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, of what the church will experience at some time called the rapture. I know there's some who don't necessarily agree with that, but I can tell you, there is a snatching away that's going to happen. There's a snatching away that we're supposed to be looking for, anticipating. According to Matthew chapter 25, we're supposed to be expecting that at some point Christ is going to return. And you better have oil in your lamps and be ready, because he's coming an hour you don't know it. The trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who remain will be snatched away. We don't know when that day is, but beloved, the Word of God says there's going to be a harpazo, a snatching away. Enoch is a picture of that. Enoch is a picture of it right before judgment, worldwide judgment. And I believe that's what the book of the Old New Testament teaches as well. That before the end time judgment, it's not with water, it's going to be with fire. But before that happens, there's going to be a snatching away. Well, the focus, though, is on Enoch's walk, how he walked with God. His life was pleasing. One day he was walking with God. God said, let's go to my house. And he was gone. He was taken away, and they searched for him. The idea in the verb of searching for him is something that they did and kept doing. It wasn't like they looked out the window and said, I don't see Enoch, and went in and never thought about him again. They searched diligently. They looked all over the place for him. If they had law enforcement, they called the authorities and said, hey, we need to find him. Listen, he didn't have a little phone that had Life 360 on it that you can trace where everybody's. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? All the moms and dads are, yes, we know how that is. Amen? We can track you. He didn't have a chip in him to find out where he went. They searched, they asked. He didn't show up to work on Monday morning, right? And so he was gone. He was snatched away. Why? Why would God take him away? Well, the text tells us his faith pleased God. Now, I said to highlight that in verse 5 and to highlight it in verse 6, that phrase pleased God. Why? Because we want to have a faith that pleases God. We want to have a faith, listen, like Enoch, that pleased God, that walks with him. Well, if I'm going to have a faith that pleases God, that walks with him, I need to learn about that walk. I need to learn what it means to walk in relationship, in fellowship with God. Not to just go through religious activity on Sunday for an hour. Listen, to have a real vital faith that influences the decisions that I make throughout the week, the way I live my life, the way I bear witness by my words and my works and the things I do, that someone can look and say, look at his testimony, look at her witness, look at what it bears fruit of, what it testifies of. We want to live that way. And in fact, Paul would write about that over in the book of Ephesians. He would emphasize there also, and in Colossians, he writes about our walk, the way we conduct ourselves as believers. In fact, it's fascinating because over there in Ephesians chapter 2, it says in verse 1 that once we did not walk with God. In fact, what we did is we walked under the spirit of influence that's in the air, the spirit of darkness, that we actually were children of darkness. We were children of doom. All we had expecting us was destruction. Why? Because we were desperate sinners. We had no hope. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, God showed mercy. And though we were walking away from God, not walking to him, I had no desire for him, we turned around. His spirit convicted us and we realized, I need to respond to him. And we walked, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, by grace we've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we should walk in the good works that he's prepared before us beforehand. We should be walking now in a new way. And what does that new way look like? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he'll say, listen, walk worthy of your calling. If God's called you, we should walk worthy of that calling. If we're his people, our life should demonstrate that. Down in chapter 4, verse 17, he'll talk about, listen, that means we no longer walk like the world walks, like the Gentiles walk, who are darkened in their mind. Their understanding is limited. They don't understand the ways of God. But beloved, we now do, because God's word has come to us. And we put off the old ways of living and put on new ways by renewing our mind. In fact, we renew our mind with this word right here. So much so that as we walk in this newness of life, where we once were children of darkness and children of doom, now we are sons and daughters of God. We're God's children. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says that we should walk in love. If God is love, shouldn't we walk in love? Amen. And Christ has demonstrated us what that love looks like, sacrificial, selfless love. In fact, he'll say, not only are we, is our God a God of love, and as children, we should walk in love. In chapter 5, verse 15, it says, we also walk in verse 7, it says, we walk in love, we also walk in light. Why? Because we've been illumined. We're no longer stumbling around, fumbling around in the darkness. God has illumined our eyes and helped us to understand. And now also, we also walk in wisdom, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It sounds just like when Enoch lived in his day, the days were evil, and he still walked with God. In fact, what's fascinating is, as it was in the days of Enoch, Peter would tell us, and the days of Noah, just when it was what it was like then, it's going to be like that in the end times. So we all have to make a choice. Listen, you can be influenced by the world. You can walk like the world wants to. But God's people and the men of renown, the people that have walked by faith, they don't walk like that. They don't live like that. They live differently, distinctly. And we need to learn, Paul would say in Ephesians, how to walk in that way. A life that is surrendered to the Spirit, to the control of the Spirit. Our minds are saturated with the Word of God. And that's just critical and essential because why? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. God spoke. God revealed something to Enoch. And so much so, maybe it was in naming his child, realizing judgment's coming. You better get right and live right. Now, beloved, if we realize that and we want to walk by faith, we need to walk in a way that pleases him. Now, watch what it says here in chapter 11, verse 6 about that faith that we live out, we flesh out, and what it believes. It believes two critical things. What it believes first, notice this, everyone who comes to God must believe what? That he is. He is what? We'll fill in the blank. Amen? He is what he has made us to know. God has revealed himself. When Moses, remember, God called Moses and told him, go set my people free. And he said, well, by the way, who are you that I can tell them? Yahweh, I am. He is. He is the ground of all being. We're here because he says so. You and I don't have any life apart from him. We need to realize that. He's the creator who's made us and not we ourselves. He is what? Well, this is why we studied the attributes 2 years ago, right? We studied who God is and what he's like. I mean, the all-knowing, all-present, the all-powerful God, right? Do you believe that this morning? He's all those things? Do you believe, listen, not only he is that, but that he's holy, set apart, transcendent, so much higher than you and I. He's holy, set apart, separate, distinct from his creation. And yet, he speaks to you and me and shows us mercy and shows us grace because his righteous standard, we don't live up to it, but he makes an offer to us. He makes it, does this in a way, listen, he's so patient and long-suffering with us, abounding in goodness to us, wanting us to come to him. And why does he even give us that goodness? Paul would tell us in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it's so that we might repent, so that we might turn and come to him. And he's patient, calling us, wooing us, faithful, true to all of his word that he's spoken, demonstrating his love, that he's a loving God. That's who he is. And I need to realize that this morning. I need to believe that he not only exists, but he is all of these things. And you stop and think about, how would I navigate life without him? I mean, how would I navigate life? Listen, when I realize I am weak and I don't have the strength, but in Christ I can do all things, amen? I need God's strength. I don't know what's ahead because I'm ignorant. I don't have all the facts. He does, and he offers wisdom to anyone, all who will ask of him. He gives it quite freely, according to James chapter 1. Any and all who want it, I need that wisdom. I need it. He's the all-wise God. I need him. Do I believe that this morning? You see, throughout the week, your life, there are many instances where you and I have opportunities to believe he is exactly who he says he is. And take a step of faith and choose to believe that and go forward. And then, listen, he rewards that. You see, we come to him believing that he is everything that he says in his word and that he will reward those who diligently seek him. Remember, Jesus said, God is looking for worshipers. He's looking for those who will worship him. And I love what he says in the Old Testament, right? When you seek for me and search for me with all your heart, you will find me. God wants you and I to do that. He wants you to have a life, listen, where you and I are walking by faith throughout the week, every day, desiring fellowship with him because of who he is. He alone is God. There is no other. And he wants us to walk in a way believing, listen, I believe what you say about yourself right here in this word. And I choose to order my life in light of it. And I believe you're a God that rewards those who seek you. That's what Enoch did. I believe he just sought the Lord. He just lived in a way that pleased him. That was his testimony. And he had to live in this way because this is the only faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You have to believe these two things, that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You can write in the margin of your Bible, Proverbs 13:13, if you'd like right here, because what's amazing about the Word of God and faith is so critical here and our disposition towards it. That Proverb, chapter 13, verse 13 of Proverbs, says this, "He who despises the Word will be destroyed, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded." You see, that really lays it out right there. If my heart despises what God says, the Hebrew term there is my favorite Hebrew. Ready? Buzz. It's like this. God. Right? All the children love it when I do that. In Headwaters, in teaching Bible class, it's hilarious, right? Listen, we act like that when we didn't listen to God. We despised what God had to say, his word. And remember, faith comes by hearing the word of God. If you don't like what God has to say on the matter, you're not going to walk by faith. And that's how we live our life a lot of times. I know better than God. I'm not going to do what he says. Mom and dad, that's old. That's antiquated. This is new age we're in. No. If you despise the word, you're going to be destroyed. But if you reverence the commandment, what's reverence commandment mean? That means I step back. He's God. He's spoken. I need to order my life accordingly. And the promise is this, those who reverence their heart at what God says, they will be rewarded. Enoch knew that. He took God at his word, and he believed God would reward his faith. And anyone who comes to God has to believe he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. In fact, what's fascinating is over in the book of Revelation, over the last chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Hey, here's a word from Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says this morning. "Behold, I'm coming. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." God is going to reward those who seek him. Do you realize he's also going to reward those who didn't seek him? But it's not a reward you want. It's a reward of judgment. In fact, it had said this over in Hebrews chapter 2, earlier when we studied Hebrews chapter 2, that if the word spoken, chapter 2, verse 2, if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If God judged in the Old Testament when he said he was going to judge them and he judged them, think of Korah and the rebellion, think of others there that got judged because God said, don't do it, and he judged them. If that happened, and we've heard the word of God, the supreme revelation of God, Jesus, who's the great high priest, who's offered the great sacrifice for us, why wouldn't we come to him and receive the reward he's promised us? Why wouldn't we yield our lives to him? Why wouldn't we want to embrace that? That's what Enoch did. He took God at his word. His faith believed, and his faith was rewarded. And all these in the hall of faith, they were those who walked by faith. They esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the pleasures in Egypt. They looked for the reward. To realize who he is and to say, I'm with him. I've turned away from what this world has to offer because it's not worth it. It doesn't satisfy. It's not truth. It's lies. I want the one who is truth. And I want his goodness. And I want him. You see, the reward isn't just something he gives us. What it is we get himself. We get him. The nearness of my God is my good. Now we have to come to him this way. We live in this way. Living in a way that believes he is what he says he is and that he will reward our faith as we exercise it. And that's the invitation to all of us, is to realize, listen, how am I going to make it through this world without him? I desperately need him. You desperately need him. I've tried times living without God. It's not easy. I need him each and every day. You see, when I'm weak, what I discover is that in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And he supplies what I have need of. When I'm without, I discover that I, whether I'm abased or bound, Paul would say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I don't know the way, he's the God who illumines my path. His word shows me the steps I need to take and the path I need to walk on. And so what I need to evaluate this morning is, listen, is my life, is my steps in life, is the path you're on right now, is that the path, listen, the righteous path that God has provided for you? Now listen, remember over in Psalm 23, when the Lord is your shepherd, not only you shall not want, but what will he do? He makes me to walk in paths of righteousness for his name. He'll show you the right path. Am I walking on that path? Ponder the path. Where am I going? As I exercise, am I even exercising my faith throughout the week? Be honest. Do I believe God is? Do I believe he'll reward my faith? You see, if I'm walking in fellowship with him, then I bear witness each step of the way. And all I have to do is exercise faith, believing what he says about himself in his word. Now see, for this to happen, you got to open God's word. Listen, everyone, we need to have a plan where throughout the week, listen, I'm opening the word to hear God speak. Like, I want to hear God, have a plan. If you don't have one, they're out here in the hallway. We've got read through the Bible plans, or you can just pick a book of the Bible, read it for 30 days, and ask God, speak to me. I need to hear you speak. And he will. You want the word to dwell richly in your heart. The word to dwell richly in my soul. Because the Spirit takes that word. Remember in the New Covenant now, the power, the word is internalized and the Spirit is internalized. We've already learned this in Hebrews. We need this to guide us and direct us throughout the day. And the amazing thing is that offer is available to any and all. God said that. He's looking for worshipers. He's searching for those who will seek after him and worship him in spirit and in truth. And the amazing thing today is that invitation is to you and me. In fact, listen, you may have been taking some steps and plopped down and not stepped back up and kept going. He's a God of mercy and grace. That's the throne that we come to. Why not receive that? Why not experience it? Why not resolve today, you know what? I'm going to walk with him. I want to have fellowship with the one who made me. I want to live my life for his purposes. I want to build my life on what he says. Enoch acted and practice his faith. And beloved, so should you, and so should I. And let's do that this morning. I want to invite you to bow your heads for just a moment as we all take a step of faith and choose to believe what God has said. Don't let our disposition to God's word be like it says there in Proverbs. I heard you this morning, preacher. I'm not going to do anything with it. Don't be like that. If the Spirit has spoken to your heart and you realize this morning you need to make a decision, you need to take a step towards the Lord, then do that even now. If you want to talk with a pastor, we'd love to talk with you about how you can have a personal relationship and walk in fellowship with the Lord. The first step is to be redeemed, to be saved, to realize I was going in the wrong direction, but I need to turn today and start walking in the right direction. Or maybe, you know what, it's the case today that you did that once, but you're not following through and you just need encouragement. That's what the church is for. Hebrews chapter 10 reminded us, listen, we're going to encourage one another to go in the right direction. We all want to get there in this journey of faith. Perhaps it's the case today that you know someone's not going down the right path and you just want to get on the altar and pray for them this morning. For God to open their eyes and help them to come to the knowledge of the truth and to realize, I've been going in the wrong direction. I need to change that today. And they need to change that today. And say, pray. Pray for their souls. Pray for God to awake. If something happened in Enoch's life that he started walking with God, pray for that moment in their life as well. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, search your heart. Where are your feet taking you today? That's what the wise man said. Ponder the steps of your feet. Consider the path. Is it a path that honors the Lord? Is it a path that's walking a step closer to God. Isaiah says, listen, unless two be agreed, they can't walk together. God's not going to change, beloved. We're the ones that have to change. We have to order our life according to what God's word says. And so is that my life today? Am I ordering my steps according to what God says in his word? When we think about that and reflect on that, if there's a need to take a U-turn, then say, call on the Lord. Confess it. Experience mercy and grace that he offers today. And ask him to give you a steadfast spirit to keep walking in the right direction. Walking in love, walking in light, walking in wisdom, redeeming the time. Taking a stand, being firmly footed on the word of God and on the rock of Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.